Amen. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he's got a little piece of probably PVC pipe laying around too. Amen. God's got just, that's right. Amen. God's got just what we need. All right, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter number six, is where we'll read from and preach from this morning, and hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing to you, an encouragement. Ephesians chapter number 6, and when you find your place, if you want to stand and kind of stretch your legs and kind of get the blood flowing, that way you're wide awake for preaching time. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter number 6, and let's read the first three verses together, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. All right, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Father, help us as we try to preach today. God, we need you. Use us by your Holy Spirit is our prayer. In Jesus' name, and amen, you can be seated. As this Sunday morning began to approach, I knew that today was Father's Day, and I kind of had to decide whether I would continue my small series on the home, or just kind of skip ahead, maybe do something different. In fact, I thought about jumping forward to next Sunday's sermon and dealing with the subject of parents because this was Father's Day. But as this week approached and I began to consider what the Holy Spirit wanted us to do, the more I grew convinced that God wanted us just to keep on the path we were going and deal with these first three verses today and the subject of children. The truth is that I believe that if you ask most Christian fathers, I really believe this, if you ask most Christian fathers what they wanted for Father's Day, they would probably tell you that they would rather have godly and obedient children than to receive a present for Father's Day. I really think most fathers would tell you that. I remember as the girls were growing up, and they would ask me, as Father's Day would approach, they would ask me, Dad, what do you want for Father's Day? I would tell them something like this. I remember they would be young, and I would say something like this. I would love it for Father's Day this year if you would clean your room and leave it clean. That would be a really good Father's Day present. Or I would say this, Brother Scott, I would say, I tell you what I want for Father's Day. I would love it if you and your sister could just get along with each other. If you all could get along with each other, that would be the best Father's Day present you could give me. Well, after trying that for a few years, Brother Lee, I eventually just started telling them what I wanted from the Under Armour store and giving them the money to go buy it, and just sending them to get a present. I couldn't always get those first two, so you just take what you can get and be happy with it. But in all seriousness, I believe that if you was to ask any good father, any godly father in this room, what they would want, what would make them more happy than anything else for this Father's Day, they would tell you that they would want their children to be successful. They would want their children to love and to serve God with all their hearts, that would be the greatest gift that they could get for Father's Day. And so with that in mind, I want to take a few minutes and preach to the young people of our church this morning. I've been preaching on having a structured home, and I will do that again today. Now, I'll definitely say some things along the way that'll be applicable to parents. I'll even say some things that will be good for us that are adults that still have parents that are living. But my primary thought this morning is to the young people of the church. No matter whether you're in a small child in maybe elementary school, preschool, you're some of our teenagers, this will be good for all of us, I believe. And let me say this to you teenagers. I'm going to say children throughout the service. I know you don't like to be called children. That's the word Paul uses in our verse. So I'm going to use it. Just deal with it, and don't turn me off. You're still young people, okay? All right, I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on having a structured home and deal with the children. If you're taking notes, and I hope you do, I want you to write three things down and some stuff along the way. I want you to see this first of all. I want you to see the principle of our text. The principle of our text. Paul says in verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice the way that this chapter begins. It begins with the word children. Paul is admonishing the younger members of the congregation in their walk with Jesus Christ. Now, this is interesting. I want you to see this. Notice the way the chapter does not begin, okay? It does not begin this way. Paul does not say, parents, admonish your children to obey you. Children, admonish your parents to serve the Lord. Parents, admonish your children to serve the Lord. Instead, what he does is he gives a direct command, a direct admonition to the children. He addresses them in the congregation, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is important because in this we see a principle, and the principle is this. Obviously, for Paul to admonish directly the children, that means, Brother James, that the children were in the congregation when this chapter was being read. I can almost imagine in my mind as the church at Ephesus received the letter from the Apostle Paul and they called all the congregation together, and you could scan over that audience, and maybe in this side there was a little family sitting together, and on this side there was a husband and wife that had maybe just gotten married, and somewhere over here was a master and somewhere over there was a slave. But I believe that you would see scattered in among all of those people would be children in that congregation. And Paul, knowing that the children would be there, directly admonishes them in this letter. Allow me to remind you of the words of Solomon in Proverbs 22:6, where Solomon said, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I do not think that I can overstate the importance of raising our children in the house of God. I am a firm believer that children should be brought to church. I don't care if they're just little and they're coloring in the pews, or they're teenagers and they're old enough to sit and take notes. I believe, and I am a firm believer, you will not change my mind on this. Children should and must be brought to church. I'm a firm believer that children should be ministered to. They are not just here to sit and be quiet, but they are to be ministered to in a direct fashion. We must make them a part of it. I'm a firm believer that children should be allowed to participate in what the church does. They are part of us. They are our future, and we must allow them to learn how to do church now, because they will stand in our place one day. Oh, this principle, children, he's admonishing them directly because they are there. Oh, can I say two things about this principle? I'll say this, children should be part of church. Children should be part of church. I have told you this story before. I'll tell it again. My family started attending Bays Mountain Baptist Church in the South Knoxville community when I was about 13 years old. And I was saved at 14 years old. And it wasn't long after I was saved that our church created a youth group. And it actually looked a lot like the youth group that we have here. There was some younger kids and there were some teenagers. It was kind of a hodgepodge, and they just created this youth group and let everybody be a part of it. And we did all sorts of things. We would play games and we would have get-togethers. But the thing that I remember the most is that they would allow us as youth to take part in the services. We had a youth group and a youth choir, and we would stand up and sing, and while we would sing, we would cry, and the parents in the congregation would cry, and it was good. And they would have youth Sundays, and They would allow us to take up the offering, and they would allow us to teach Sunday school classes. And me and Brother Lee was actually just talking about that this week. We're going to start doing that on a more regular basis here. And I'm so thankful that God's given us a youth pastor, aren't you? And God's going to do some good things and some big things. I believe that. But they would let us take part in the service. And as a 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid, they would let me teach the adult Sunday school class. And I would get up there and my knees would be knocking together and I would be scared and afraid. And I would run through that lesson just as fast as I could. And I was probably saying words so fast nobody understood what I was saying. But they were letting a teenage boy serve the Lord. And I would stand up and cry and I would try to give him my heart. And as I did that, Brother Wally, those adults in the congregation, they would blow snot and they would wipe tears and they would raise their hand. I've listened back on a few of those lessons, and Jason, they were not any good, but they would act like they were really good, and they would pat me on the back and say, "That's so good. You did so great." And you know what they did? They let me be a part of church. They let me learn how to do church, and I am a firm believer that I am here today doing what I am doing today, pastoring this church, because there's a group of people in South Knoxville that let me learn how to serve God as a young boy and cheered me on while I did it. I believe children ought to be a part of church. Don't you? I believe that. I believe that. We are to encourage our young people to serve the Lord. Oh, kids, teenagers, they're not just to come, sit on a pew and be quiet. They are to be allowed to worship God. They are to be encouraged to serve God. We ought to encourage them to have prayer requests, encourage them to say amen, encourage them to sing any way we can, encourage them to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm a firm believer that I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm a firm believer that one day there'll be a young person maybe sit in Northside Baptist Church that turns into an adult at Northside Baptist Church or wherever the Lord calls them to serve, and they will stand where we're standing, and hopefully in their heart they will say, "That group of people cheered me on while I served God, and they let me know that it was a joy to serve the Lord, and they let me know that it was okay to serve the Lord," and they'll say, "I'm doing what I'm doing today because somebody let me serve God." I want our children to be a part of this church, don't you? I think that I could say this, children should be a part of church. But then I'll say this, letter B, I believe that church should be a part of children. Not only should children be a part of church, but church should be a part of children. I think that it's worth pointing out that the same verse that begins our section on marriage is applicable to the section that is dealing with obedient children. It is verse 18, 19, and 20 of chapter 5. In verse number 18, Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In verse 19, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Being the child that your parents, I'll say this now directly to the young people, being the child that your parents want you to be, being the child that God intends for you to be, starts with having the correct attitude. It does. One of the greatest things that you can do as a young person, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God right now. That is one of the greatest things that you can do. Once you're filled with God's Spirit, that'll help you to have a joyful heart. It'll help you to be thankful for your blessings, to be thankful for your church, thankful for your parents, thankful for their rules. If you are filled with God's Spirit, it will directly impact and it will help mold your attitude about some things. A young person that is unthankful for their parents will be less likely to follow their parents' rules. A young person that is not joyful in their heart will find a problem with everything in their life. You ever met a teenager that is unhappy at school? They are unhappy at home. They are unhappy at church. They are unhappy in their friend group. that goes deeper than just the friend group and the school and the church and the home. That goes into the heart. That goes into the relationship with God. A young person that is not filled with God's Spirit will be more likely to leave the church, permanently, as soon as they get out from underneath mom and dad's house and their rules. I'll say this to you guys. The day is approaching very soon when you will have to decide for you whether you will serve the Lord or not. Soon mom and dad won't have to force you to come to church. Soon mom and dad, you won't be in their house. You'll be out from underneath them. You'll make your own decisions. And on that day, I pray that church is a part of you. That you're not just here, but what we do is inside of you and you are filled with God's Spirit. And when you can make that decision for you, you say, I will serve the Lord because God is real to me. When Paul gives this admonition to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he said, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obedience, we'll discuss that in just a minute, but obedience to your parents is an extension of God being in you, God being real to you, and your walk with God. This must be sought and this must be taught at a very young age. So I see this principle. Children are to be a part of church and church is to be a part of them. Not only do I see a principle in our text, but I see a proclamation in our text. Verse number 1 says, children, and here it is, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is interesting that we always use that word submission in dealing with the wife like it's obedience, but that's not what that word really means. But when Paul deals with the children, he says, obey. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Paul admonishes the young people in the church to obey their parents. Paul could have said something like this when he was addressing the children. He could have said, now children, I want you to make sure that you dress right. He could have said, now children, don't listen to rock and roll music. Children, be careful who your friend group is. But instead, when Paul addresses the children from the youngest to the oldest, his admonition is this, be filled with the Holy Spirit and obey your parents. Can I say that I think if you're filled with the Spirit and you're obedient to your parents, it deals with the music and it deals with the dress and it deals with the friend group and it deals with the dirty language and all the stuff that we talk to kids about. You remember Jesus, the story of our Lord, and he is 12 years old, and the Bible says that he's down and he's talking to the doctors and the lawyers and the scribes, those educated people, and we know that story. And the Bible says that after they return home from Jerusalem, we're given these two verses about the young Jesus, and these are the last verses that were given about the young Jesus right before he's a teenager. And then the next time we'll meet him, he's 30 years old. But these are the last two verses we're given about the young Christ. It says in Luke 2:51, and he went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know what that means? It means that the young teenage Christ was obedient to his parents and he was filled with God's presence. And he turned out all right, didn't he? If I was to ask you this morning, what is the greatest thing as a young person you can do to serve the Lord? I wonder what you would say. I wonder if you would say, well, I could do this, I could do that, I could sing, I could be a missionary, I could... This may surprise you, but according to the Old Testament and the New Testament, the greatest calling on the life of a young person is to obey their parents. That's right. You think about it. The Bible tells us that disobedience to parents is a sign of rebellion in your heart against God. In fact, it's a sign of the last days. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy." That means two things. One, it means that there's a greater draw upon children for disobedience, but it also means that by obeying your parents, you can be a light to everybody that you come in contact with. This proclamation, I'll say this, letter A, there's an obligation in this. Verse 2 says, which is the first commandment with promise. The Scriptures do not tell you to obey your parents if you feel like it, if they are giving in to what you want, or if you're having a good day. Paul says children are to obey their parents because it's a commandment. It's a natural commandment. All cultures, all parts of life teach this principle. Children should obey their parents. My mom didn't quite say it that way. She just always said it like this. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. I think that's the East Tennessee way of saying this is a commandment from God. I brought you, I'll knock you into next week. You've probably never heard that, have you? I brought you into this world. Boy, I'll take you out. Nature teaches you that obeying your parents is right. I don't care if you're one of these young children and you all should obey your parents. The preacher said obey your parents. I don't care whether you're a teenager, whether you're 41, or how old you are. If you've got a parent, there's just something naturally inside of you that says you should honor and respect and obey your parents. I am 41 and my dad is sitting here today, and if he met me in the parking lot after church and said, "Boy, you're doing this wrong, you should do this," I would listen to his advice. I wouldn't be ugly. I wouldn't say something ugly. Even if I disagreed with him, I would honor and respect him. There's just something natural about that. This is a natural commandment, but this is God's commandment. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, just as it is commanded to remember the Sabbath, not to lie," and tells us that murder is wrong. That same list of commandments says God said honor your parents. I think I could say it this way and be okay. The way you honor your parents displays the way that you honor God in your heart. We okay with that? How can you love and obey a God that you have not seen if you cannot love and obey your parents that you do see? So this is an obligation. But notice not only the obligation, but notice the explanation. It's in verse number 1. Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And here's the explanation that's given. "For this is right." Think about it this way. Children should obey their parents because it's the right thing to do. It is. It's just the right thing to do. I'll address the young people again. Y'all just nod your head and help me along today, okay? I've noticed something as I've gotten older, and you all, especially getting in the teenage years, you'll struggle with this. When you're these guys' age, Aiden back here, when you're their age, mom and dad, you know, they're invincible, right? They're the superhero. They know everything, and they got all the answers, But eventually you reach an age, and usually it happens around those teenage years, you reach an age where you start to discover that mom and dad's not invincible. Mom and dad makes mistakes. Mom and dad's not always right. We're not, are we, guys? And we don't always have all the answers. But let me tell you what you're supposed to do. When you figure out mom and dad don't have all the answers and mom and dad's not always right, there's something inside of you that wants to pull against them and say, they don't understand, they don't get it, they don't know what's going on. They're giving me these rules, but that's because they don't go to my school and they don't know what I deal with and they don't understand me. But let me tell you what Paul says to do. Paul says when you discover mom and dad don't have all the answers and you feel like they're not getting you and maybe it seems like they're not as invincible as you thought they were, you keep obeying mom and dad because it's just the right thing to do. For this is right. He said, I tell you what to do in verse 2, honor them. Honor your parents with your obedience. Honor your parents with your life. Honor your parents with your testimony. Honor your parents with the mate that you choose. Honor your parents by living for God. Honor your parents by taking care of them when they can't take care of themselves one day. Honor your parents by meeting them in heaven. This is right. This is right. This is right. Children should obey their parents. And let me say this, number 3, and I'll let you go. Not only do I see the principle and the proclamation, but number 3, I see the promise in our text. The promise. Verse 2 said, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Paul finishes by encouraging the young people that there's a reward. He said, this is the first commandment with promise. Now, all those other commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, all those commandments came with a promise, but they were all a negative promise. Do this and you'll die. But this commandment, honor thy father and mother, is the first commandment that gives us a promise of reward. God promises that if we obey our parents, that we will have a good life and we'll live long on the earth. This promise was first given to the Old Testament church, and it was given to them before they entered the promised land. Honor your father and mother, and God will give you a good life in the promised land and let you live long on the earth. Let you enjoy that land He's promised. But here's what Paul does. Paul reaches into the Old Testament and he grabs this promise and he brings it into 2020. And he says, children, if you will obey your parents, there are two promises that come along with that. Number one, that it may be well with thee. The promise of wellness. That it may be well. He said, you'll have a good life. We all want a good life, do we not? When you are obedient to your parents, you avoid some of the things that could cause you harm, cause you hurt, and cause you hardness. And if you avoid the hurt, you avoid the harm, you avoid the hardness, then you are given a better life because you were blessed to obey. Amen. You may disagree with me right here, but I think I'm right enough to say it. Much of what we are seeing play out on our local news in the streets of America today, as people burn down buildings and pull down statues and riot and protest, much of that is the result of broken homes, disobedient children, and a lack of proper parenting. And it is not well with us today because something broke down in the home. You know, mom and dad may not have all the answers, but they've been where you've been. They have made the mistakes that you keep trying to make, and they keep trying to stop you from making. And if you'd listen to them, it'll be well with you. And he said, finally, that you'll live long on the earth. I don't know about you, but I want to live as long as I can. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I kind of enjoy living too. Paul gives the promise that children who obey their parents will live long. Now, this does not mean that if someone dies young, they were necessarily a bad child. But truly, the child who obeys their parents will avoid many of the dangers that threaten their life. Let me finish with this. Honor your parents. Whether you're in elementary school, middle school, a teenager, in high school, even an adult, honor your parents. This is right. And the greatest way right now that you can honor God is by honoring your parents. I tell you what we'll do. We'll give a moment of invitation. Maybe somebody wants to come pray. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Maybe some of the young people want to come pray that God would equip and enable them to be the parent, to be the children that God has called them to be, those obedient children. Maybe a child needs to go hug mom and dad's neck and apologize for some things. Maybe a parent wants to come down to this altar and pray and say, God, help me to instill inside of my children. Help me to instill inside of them the worth of serving God and the joy of serving the Lord, that they serve you all the days of their life. Whatever your need is, Brother Scott, can you get us a song real quick? And if you'll sing a verse of song, we'll give an invitation. If you need to come pray, these altars are open.